Welcome to Learning for Life, a CLR podcast. I'm Sarah Shane, and with me is my editor and friend, Larry Lefkowitz. Larry? Larry?
Yes? Can I help you?
Are we going duck hunting?
Next? No, it's rabbit season.
No, it's not rabbit season, it's movie season. Actually, CLR is going to the movies.
We're going to the movies.
Yes, we are. We're going to the County Cinema in Doylestown.
CLR and the County Cinema are collaborating on a series of special matinee showings called
Conversations on Cinema. Each presentation will be followed by a discussion hosted by Mike Camison, Program Director for the County, and Bill Leeser, a popular CLR instructor and a movie enthusiast. What follows is a conversation I had with Mike for the upcoming event.
I'm sitting here in the County Theater in the semi-darkness with Mike.
Camison.
Thank you, Mike. And we're getting ready to talk about Conversations on Cinema, the new program that we're going to have with CLR and the County Theater. Mike, what do you think is going to make this program special or unique?
I think what's important and what's missing from a lot of our collective experience right now is this idea of media literacy, especially nowadays and especially with younger generations. They're watching YouTube videos and like things on Instagram and television and movies, and everything is like right in your face. But we don't often get the opportunity to sit down and kind of break things apart and understand what we're looking at, the images that we're seeing, and what they mean about our culture, about society, about relationships, about politics. And I think that that's what is fruitful out of a discussion series like this.
Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Mike Camison. I'm from Philadelphia originally. I went to undergrad out in Pittsburgh and then came back to Philadelphia for grad school at Temple, and where I did my MFA in creative writing.
How does somebody go from creative writing to programming at a theater?
So it's interesting. I was always interested in film. When I initially went to college, I thought I was going to be a film major. I think what the University of Pittsburgh did correctly and what some other film programs do correctly is they lump film and literature together, because it's all about reading texts, reading films, analyzing their components, seeing what techniques a writer has, what a filmmaker has, what kind of ideas are being conveyed, or what those films maybe consciously or unconsciously are saying about our culture.
Do you have a favorite film?
That's a very difficult, loaded question, I would say. I have a lot of favorite films. I have favorite types of films. One of my favorite filmmakers is probably John Cassavetes. Woman Under the Influence might be listed.
Can you explain to me how you came to John Cassavetes?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I've always loved like independent film, and I love products that are made independently, like comics and music and movies. And I think Cassavetes is one of the icons of modern American independent film, especially that film, Woman Under the Influence. You know, he used so much of his money shooting Rosemary's Baby or The Dirty Dozen to finance that film. The movie is just true independent cinema, and I think it's richer for it, and also just a stunning example of filmmaking and acting and screenwriting and everything. So I've always loved his spirit.
I know there was a lot of disappointment with the Golden Globes, and I'm thinking of two things that people found disappointing. I'm finding the female director mm-hmm. of Little Women, that she was ignored, mm-hmm. and also the fact that the Irishman did not receive what many people thought was that film's due. What do you think about both of those situations?
First, I think it's insane that Greta Gerwig was not nominated for direction. In addition, I thought Lulu Wang, who had directed The Farewell that came out over the summer, was also another fantastic contender. Not to mention, you know, there's like a million other women directors that have produced like brilliant works that are year after year completely unrecognized by these like kind of gatekeepers. In the same sense, I think one of those gatekeepers is Martin Scorsese and The Irishman. I think that that kind of New Hollywood 1970s filmmakers that we're still kind of idolizing today is maybe detrimental to the fact that we should be idolizing these new coming filmmakers like Greta Gerwig, who on her second film made a hit out of an adaptation of a Louisa May Alcott novel that has been remade more than once.
A good friend of mine turned me on to, now this is, I think it's a year older, and I think it's a female filmmaker, and it was the teenage coming of age film Booksmart.
Yes.
And I caught it on Netflix and I absolutely adored it. And that's a female film director, correct?
That's correct. That was directed by Olivia Wilde, who's an actress as well. This was her first film. I believe it premiered at South by Southwest this year. And yeah, that's another movie that had strong female lead because it was directed and written by a woman. But it also offers like a different take on what a film can look like and what a comedy can look like and what characters can look like. And that's all because bringing in different voices to make films and to star in films and write films changes the way films can be. And so I think that that's what's interesting about new film coming out is that diversity among its creators and its cast is only going to make people make better movies.
And on the topic of female directors, is there anyone in particular you think that we might be seeing their work in our Conversations on Cinema program?
One of the films that I'm most looking forward to this spring is called First Cow, and it's by this director, Kelly Reichardt, who's been working for the past 20 years, almost 30 years, actually, at this point, now that we're in 2020. And she's always been one of my favorite filmmakers. She shoots primarily on location, and she kind of writes a lot of slice-of-life Americana family relationship stories, which I think are always really, really interesting, and I think that she has a very keen filmmaking eye. So this one is getting a pretty big release through the film distributor A24, so that's probably my number one anticipated film for the spring.
How far in advance will our CLR members know what film they'll be able to see?
So we're going to try and get the information out as soon as we can. Our schedule book starts on Monday, and we book for the following Friday. So we'll know about 10 days in advance what the film is going to be. And that at that point, we're going to announce it on social media, through email, through hopefully a poster in the lobby of the CLR. But the show will always be on the third Thursday of the month, the matinee show, starting around 2:00. And I can hope to say that it's always going to be something that's going to be thought-provoking and worthy of discussion.
Mike, thank you so much for your time. And this is Sarah Shane, and you've been listening to Learning for Life.
Also co-hosting Conversations on Cinema will be Bill Leeser. Bill shared with me his love of cinema and insights into his unique profession.
Bill, can you tell me how long you've been associated with CLR?
I taught 4 years at CLR. I did two different jazz classes each for 3 years, and then decided to switch gears a little bit and taught a film class on spy movies.
You have a special expertise that you brought to that class. Is that correct?
That's correct. According to the bio that's in the that was in the CLR directory, I spent 33 years working at CIA, and most of that was spent working abroad.
I asked Bill how he arrived at a career with the CIA.
Yeah, I went to Berlin when I was still a college student in the summer of 1960. That's a whole story in and of itself, but it was my first experience seeing the effects of the Cold War, and it was before the wall was built. So the friend I was traveling with and I were able to spend quite a bit of time in East Berlin, and just seeing the difference between the East and the West, and clearly the repression that was already in effect in East Germany had a big impact on me. I ended up getting a job in Germany at a factory that year, and I spent a year living in Germany. I'd already studied a couple of years of German in college, so I was able to build my vocabulary very quickly and feel very comfortable living there. But I went back to Berlin again in 1961, about 2 months before the wall went up. And when I was back in the United States and saw the effects of that wall and the symbol that it represented, it caused me to change my own academic pursuits and pursue a career, which led to my long career in CIA.
The movies that Bill selected for his CLR class were influenced by his CIA background.
And can I ask you, do you remember what some of the movies were that you had played for your class?
I started off with a 1946 movie called, gosh, I can't even remember the name of that one. The second one was The House on 92nd Street. First two movies were about espionage by the Germans in the United States during World War II, and then moved up pretty much chronologically, The Spy Who Came in from the Cold, about Cold War Berlin, all the way up to Eye in the Sky, which was a movie that focused on a lot of the moral issues of using drones actively in counterterrorism operations.
Bill told me how his love of cinema began.
You're quite a film buff, aren't you?
Started when I was very young. I grew up in a small town outside of Sacramento, California, and it was during most of my growing up years, it was under 10,000, slightly over 10,000, and there wasn't an awful lot to do there. The climate, of course, was great, so there were a lot of outdoor activities, but we had two movie theaters in the small town, and I spent a lot of my Saturday afternoons at the young people's matinee and watching the old serials, and then, of course, now with old movies, family-type movies. So I started there, but my real film education began in Berkeley, California, where I went to the university there back in the late 50s and early 60s. And there was a very special film theater there called the Cinema Guild, and then they later opened the Cinema Studio. It was allegedly the first multiplex, if you will, with two theaters, but also one of the first art film theaters, very much programming very much like the county theater, except it was more repertory, it was older films. And the programming person for the movie theater during the period just before I got there and then into the period I was there was Pauline Kael, who was the very
famous. She's quite famous. And for our listeners, do you want to tell us who Pauline Kael is or was?
Pauline Kael was a very unique person. I never met her, as far as I recall, during that period at Berkeley. But she was married for a short time to the man who owned those two theaters. And she decided that she could probably do a better job than he in doing the film programming. And then she wrote up notes and sent out a monthly program with previews of all the movies that were coming up. Those later formed the basis of a book called 5001 Movies. And then she ultimately ended up with a job at the New Yorker magazine and spent many years, several decades, being the primary film reviewer for the New Yorker.
So you really had a very privileged access to the beginnings of, what could we say, avant-garde American film?
Avant-garde American film, but also independent movies and particularly foreign films. That's where most of us, many of us at Berkeley at the time, started our education on people like Ingmar Bergman and great, great classic American movies, the film noirs, the Big Sleep, and some of those other classic movies from the 1930s, 40s, and even into the 50s.
I asked Bill about his involvement with film discussion groups.
What do you hope folks get out of the discussion group after the movie?
I've been involved in film discussion groups over a number of years, first in Washington, D.C., where there was a wonderful independent foreign film theater called the Key Cinema in Georgetown, and they had a film discussion group there, and also participated with Talk Cinema, which is, I believe, still in operation in Philadelphia. And they tend to show pre-release films, so that we have not had a chance to see the film first and then have a chance to talk about it and see what our reactions are before we start reading reviews and the publicity about the movies. I'm hoping, although the details haven't been completely worked out yet, I'm hoping that's the kind of format that we'll have at the county theater.
I ended my interview with Bill by asking him his feelings about his former employer. I would be remiss. I know that my listeners know that I'll ask tough questions. You worked for the CIA, and your former employer is very much in the news these days. Any thoughts?
Well, in my 33 years working at the agency, I worked for 8 presidents. 4 of them were Republicans, and 4 of them were Democrats, and it didn't matter. Among my colleagues, we didn't talk politics. We had a job to do and following national security priorities. And it didn't matter who was president, what the party they were from. It was strictly we were nonpartisan civil servants serving our country. And that was certainly the feeling I had. I can't go without mentioning my disappointment with the criticism of agencies I worked very closely with over the years, including the FBI, by the current administration. I think it's very damaging to people's views of the hardworking civil servants who spend their careers trying to do the best they can for their country. Anyway, I think that's enough on that topic.
And talking about service and talking about sacrifice, if I understand correctly, is it at Langley where they have the tribute to CIA officers who perished in their line of work? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In the entry lobby of the agency's main building, there is a wall on the right-hand side as you walk in with a number of stars on. Many now with names associated with them, but still a large, fairly sizable number with no names on them because of the covert nature of the connection. But these were all people, represent people who died in the service of their country. And I don't want to get too political about it, but I was very dismayed when the current president came to the agency on his first day in office after inauguration, stood in front of that, what we consider a hallowed place, and made some very outrageous political statements. And it certainly soured me on him from the very beginning. It was inappropriate and very, very disappointing.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for your time, Bill. And this has been Learning for Life.
Thank you very much. And I hope we'll get a good turnout for the conversations on cinema, and that the collaboration with the county theater will, between the county theater and CLR, continues in a lively way.
Thank you.
Conversations on Cinema will begin in March. Look for information on Facebook, the county website, the CLR website, and the CLR newsletter. This is Sarah Shane, and thank you for listening to Learning for Life. And thanks to Larry Lefkowitz for editing and original music. The views expressed in this podcast are ours and do not represent those of DelVal CLR.
Let us know what you think by clicking on the Contact Us button on the CLR webpage. The button is located below our podcast logo. We look forward to hearing from you.